You know, there are all kinds of interesting people who live right around your neighborhood, like, oh, the publicist, the rights distribution manager.
Would you look at that? It's People in Your Neighborhood on 95BFM.
Oh, hi there.
Shh, listen.
Welcome, Jeff Newton from NZ On Air.
Kia ora.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Thanks for coming up.
No worries. The whole way here, I've been thinking, these are the people in your neighborhood.
That's what I based it on. Yeah, Sesame great. Street.
Yeah.
Because I always used to talk to like the milkman or, I don't know, the dentist or whatever, eh?
Yeah.
And it's that's kind of what I want to do is like let people know what people do.
Yeah, that's great. So the whole way here, that's all I've been able to sing. Which is good because it's usually some random pop song or something that I keep hearing on the radio.
Yeah. I started off some people this morning with if you like pina colada. I started them off on that earworm for a while.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because that's my kind of like
if you love
go-to.
Pina colada. Yeah.
Thank you for coming up. I really appreciate it. So your music promoter platforms, that's your title.
That is my title,
and
yes.
And you work for New Zealand On Air.
Yes.
Can you give us a background as to what New Zealand On Air kind of represents and what it does?
Yeah, so New Zealand On Air was started in 1989, so 30 years ago. We've just celebrated 30 years. And it was with the deregulation of a lot of media, radio in particular, it just become cheaper for broadcasters here in New Zealand to just buy cheap content from overseas rather than make it here because it was so expensive to make. So that was what New Zealand On Air was created for, was to basically help creative content to be made in New Zealand, mainly for television and stuff, but also for music and for radio and things.
So did music start at the same time as television?
Yes, but it developed over time. So the legend of New Zealand On Air that was Brendan Smythe was actually the second guy hired. So he was the head of music for 26 years.
Wow.
Of its 30 years. So he basically was there, but they didn't. It was basically when he came in, they had to work out where to intervene in music. Because at the time, there was a real lean towards commercial radio because student radio was playing 50% New Zealand music, the iwi stations were playing 40% New Zealand music, and you know, but at that stage commercial radio was playing less than 2%.
Wow.
So that became a bit of a focus, which, you know, now we're happy to say it's up and around the 18-19% mark, you know, and we've got this goal of 20%, which is you know, it's great that we can now say that, but that's, you know, through some of the interventions that had to develop from New Zealand On Air. And so what New Zealand On Air's music interventions were then are totally different to what it is now. I think it was about working out what New Zealand On Air music was going to look like. So we didn't actually really start doing stuff until 91 92. The Kiwi Hit Disc was started in 93, which has now become a digital delivery service called Newtrax.
Yeah.
Mm, so yeah, that's the yeah. What the first Kiwi Hit Disc was 10 songs done every 2 months, is now 28 to 32 songs every month.
That's cool. So for the audience who don't know, can you explain what the Newtrax does or what it's used for?
Yeah. So in 1993, you know, New Zealand On Air was like, to radio, you've got to play more songs. You'll play more songs. And they're like, yeah, well, great. There's some great new music around, but where do we get it? So New Zealand On Air went, we can help with that. And we created a thing called the Kiwi Hit Disc. And that was basically a compilation of New Zealand music that was being serviced for radio airplay in that period, whatever the period was.
So New Zealand On Air were essentially radio plugging New Zealand music.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that was the resource that we were using. So we would send that as a CD and we'd send it off to radio stations, and then someone like myself would then come in and go, hey, BFM, there's this great song on here and you should play it.
Yeah.
You know? That was kind of where that started, and that became the Kiwi Hit Disc. But in the last probably 18 months, we've actually done away with an actual physical disc because who's got a CD driver on their laptop anymore? You know, radio studios, you generally don't have a CD player.
Yeah.
So, you know, a CD's kind of becoming obsolete. So.
And you can get more tracks on a digital download.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. So, and we're not kind of constrained by the physical nature of it. So it used to be 28 songs on two discs every month, but we were constrained by that. Now, you know, if we've got 32 songs that are really, really good and they all have potential for radio replay, then we can support them all.
Yeah, and with that, are you kind of like monitoring the quality of the recording coming through so you know that it's got to be a specific kind of size or WAV file for radio?
Yeah. It's you know, if you're going to do it, you want to, if you are serious about being a musician, you know, there's some people who just have no idea and they're like, oh, I made the song and I'll just chuck it out and I don't really care. But if you're serious about getting airplay for your music and getting a support for that, then you want to make sure that the product, which is your music, is put in the very best shiny packaging that you can make it, you know.
Yeah.
And that's to mean that, you know, your recording is the best it could be to the way you want it. You know, some people really like lo-fi sounds, so that's how they produce them, but they do it to a really high standard.
Yeah. And so the criteria for that, you don't actually have to be NZ On Air funded through a new music project or single to go on the new tracks, do you?
No. You can be just someone who is basically, in the view of us, has a shot at getting played at radio. So so we don't put, if we have a priority towards songs that we fund because we've already invested in them, so we want to give those the best shot we can. But that never ever makes up the entirety of new tracks.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a pretty good percentage, you know, out of 30 tracks, you know, we could have 15 sometimes that aren't funded tracks, you know, but they are songs that people in the industry are talking about and they want to get to you know, not even people in the industry, people outside of the industry are talking about, you know. People are all of a sudden picking up lots of streams on streaming services and a lot of people are talking about them on Facebook. So you go, oh, wow, maybe that's something we should try and get some radio airplay for as well.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm.
So with that, can we talk about what New Zealand On Air does fund in the way of music?
Yeah, so we have two funding streams. And this is for funding content. So I'm the we have two music promoters. There's Ash and she's the repertoire, and her thing is to promote the content, so the songs,
yep,
across social media, and she also makes new tracks. Whereas I'm pushing is getting the songs on the platforms, which are the songs that are the places where people music gets played. So that's the radio, it's the streaming services, it's YouTube, television. Not that there's a lot of that anymore, but.
So are you essentially going and talking to people at Spotify and say YouTube and going,
yeah,
hey, check out this track,
yeah,
this one we've funded, mm, we'd like to see it, you know, playlisted on a Spotify playlist?
Yeah, yeah. Or you kind of give them an idea of what targets you have, what playlists you're targeting, but
yep,
it's kind of like, this is a song. Yeah, you can say, oh, can you play it? And they'll probably go, oh, maybe, and
yeah,
you never hear back. So you don't really ask that question. You sort of go, here's a great song. We know you're going to play all of them, but this is great reasons why you should play this song. Here's another bunch of great reasons why you should play this one. And then it's entirely up to them. It's the same thing with any curated playlist.
Yeah.
You know, you've just got to put it in its best light. But that's what I do. I send newsletters off to the curators of all the playlists, and which unfortunately are in Australia.
Yeah.
Because we are treated as one territory. So the Spotify playlists that we get for New Zealand are all curated out of Australia. Thankfully, the New Zealand curator that they have for Spotify lives in Australia, and she is a she came from our office, but which is great. But so she knows a lot of her music. So you'll see, actually, people who are real big Spotify users will actually notice that there have been quite a few new playlists,
yeah,
come out recently. There's a new one called Alternative Aotearoa,
yeah,
which is actually a great platform for pushing out kind of new alternative music. That's kind of what they've been, yeah, that's kind of her job, you know, is to make those New Zealand centric playlists. So my idea is to go, here's a great song, it's being supported by these radio, it's being supported by this online media, these are the playlists we'd like to get it on, here's, you know, it's got this tour coming up, and you've kind of given them the information, and then let them hear the song, so you've got to give them a link so they can hear it or see it or whatever, engage with it, and then they make a decision as to whether that fits for them or not, which is totally away from the question you were asking.
I'll just say, for anyone who's just tuned in, we're talking to Jeff Newton from NZ On Air, and he's going to talk to us about, he's going to explain to us about the different formats for funding.
So we have two funding streams in music, new music singles and new music project. New music project is it's a grant for a collection, for a multi-single project. So if you've got you're releasing an album, you're releasing a EP, maybe it's a collection of singles that aren't going to be one form of body of work, but you know, are going to be released over a short period of time, you know, then you can come to us and say, look, here's the plan. It's a pretty involved application process, which goes into who the people involved, what's the recording process, what's the marketing plan, what's the release strategy, what's the budget, you know, who's involved with it, and how all that's going to roll out. And then we need to hear the demos as well.
Yeah, and that one is kind of like geared towards probably like mid-career to
you know,
to artists that have kind of like had a bit of a background or some success or
track record. One of the big things that we one of the heavy weightings in that application process is experience and track record, because it's a bigger investment. We kind of need to know that there's a lot more involved, you know, a lot more behind it, and that includes success in the past. So that's kind of once you've kind of graduated and you've done it and you've released songs and you do have a following, then that is available. But if you're not, then we have new music singles, which is a singles funding round. It's an online application process that we do 5 of them a year.
And there's 22 criteria, isn't there?
22 criteria.
One of which is like you can be on the Student Radio Network top 10s too.
Yes. So they kind of measure, so with project, you know, we want to see that support. The criteria that we have is basically to show, for you to show us what kind of support you've got behind you. And it measures support from an audience. So things like, if you headlined a gig to 100 paying punters, if you've got 1,000 followers on any fan site, if you've got 2,000 streams of a song, 2,000 views of any song, if you've been written about on a blog. Then there's kind of industry support. So do you have a record label? Do you have a manager? Do you have a label? Do you have distribution? Which these days can be an online paid thing. So, you know, put one and one together, you can tick that one anyway. Media support. So have you been played on the radio? Have you been a video showed on somewhere? Have you supported an international act? Have you done a tour? You know, those kinds of, you know, where you've been out and doing things and you've had support from the industry for those things. And so there's 22 criteria. You only have to tick 10. 10 of the 22.
So that's pretty cool. So you're given a really fair chance.
Well, man, it's, and this is the thing that people are like, oh, it's a barrier to me being able to apply. And it's kind of like, well, if you are serious about this, and I'll tell you now, like, we do this, like, New Zealand does music at a grassroots level really, really well. Like, you want to go, you know, people are like, I'll make it big in New Zealand, then I'll go to Australia. Australia's bigger because it has more people and it has more opportunities, but they're actually no better than we are. Like, our best is as good, if not better than their best, and their kind of emerging is kind of, a lot of ours is actually better than theirs.
Well, it's a very different sound, I think. I really hear a total different sound. Like, I feel like we're ahead of the curve in trends. I think Australian music can be, and I don't want to stereotype too much, but it can be quite similar and quite bland, you know, I think we're kind of experimenting in all different areas and genres, and I love that.
I was lucky enough to go to, so APRA, who you would have had Gabe in here last week, right? He might have talked about Song Hubs.
Yeah.
So a couple of years ago, I went to Song Hubs, and I was lucky enough to sit down to lunch there, and I was sitting next to Mike Elizondo, who was who's he wrote Ed Sheeran, Galway Girl. He produced the first two Eminem albums. He produced 50 Cent, and he's this massive hit. Like, he's won all these Grammys, and I was lucky enough to sit next to him, and here's like the thing he loved about being in New Zealand, and he continues to work with a couple of New Zealand acts because we're so unaffected by what is hot now.
Yep.
When he's in LA, it's like, we got to do what's good now, man. This is what's happening. We're going to do that, you know. Whereas he's, you know, he came here and he met all these Kiwis, and they're like, well, I do this.
Yeah.
And so I just want to do this as well as I can. And he was like, that's fantastic, because that gives you your own voice, your own colour, your own thing, you know. And that's what Lord has kind of opened the door for everyone now to come down and go, wow, what else have you got in New Zealand? And there are a lot of success stories now of New Zealand acts picking up support in a lot of other places.
Yeah.
You know, Mala being signed in India, you know, Thea doing really well through Asia. You know, 660 cool, and Drax Project getting signed in the States, Robinson getting signed in the UK. You know, there's real success stories happening for people now coming down and going, wow, this thing in New Zealand is a real thing.
Yeah.
And that's because we've always done it our own way. You know, if you look back through our history, we've got a whole history of people who did it way differently, you know, split ends.
Yeah.
Who else was like them at the time, you know?
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of like also reflected, like when you go into, because part of the process for the new music single is it's there's a bunch of songs submitted, like up to about 200 now.
It's getting up there. Yeah. I think the last round we had 172, which is getting to be about the average. So if you get really big rounds, you're nudging 200. I'd like to say we have rounds that get down around the 140s, 130s, but that's pretty rare nowadays.
Yeah. And how many songs out of those do you fund?
Oh, about 25.
Yeah. Yeah. So for people who are trying all the time and feeling like they're not getting through, it's actually, you know, it won't be that you're not good enough.
No,
you know,
man.
It's actually just the amount of going through.
You look at the board and you're like, wow, that's a really good list of songs. Like, you really do. You look at it every time, you're like, wow, there's some great songs there. And then you look back, and even because they also, a lot of people, we get given a list after everyone on the panel's voted.
Yeah.
Because that's done independently of each other. And then we come together for a meeting. And then at that meeting, you find out what nobody voted for. And you look through that list and it's like, wow, there's some really good songs. And I almost voted for that one. I almost voted for that one. I almost voted for that one. But, you know, it's just that there were other songs. And it's usually a lot of people like, oh, what was wrong with my song? What was wrong with my application? It was like, well, nothing really.
Yeah.
There was just this other one that was just better.
Yeah.
You know, and
or you'd be considering the different genres and how many are coming through that way.
Yeah.
And you've also got the 60-40 split of commercial and alternative, right?
Yeah. So we do so diversity is a big thing for us as well. We also gender split is quite big for us as well. You know, race is something we monitor as well. But we're kind of lucky in the sense that musical talent defies sex and race, you know, and so we get great music out of a Pākehā person as we do from a Pacifica person, as we do from an Asian person, whether they be male or female. So we've actually done a bit of work around that, and we were quite lucky. We started in a pretty good place in funding women. We do fund less women than we do men, but we have also a deficit of women actually applying. We actually fund a lot more women who apply over men who apply.
Oh, wow.
It's something we do take notice of, but essentially it's always about the song. It's got to be a good song. It's got to be connecting with an audience somewhere. We don't, you know, choose a kind of this song over this one because it's got it's on a much higher, bigger platform, so to speak, you know. A song that's getting played on BFM as opposed to The Edge, that's still as relevant as each other, you know. Even songs that don't get played on the radio.
Yeah.
You know, but so they have strong followings online.
Oh, so online, like, is Spotify counted?
Success on Spotify, because it's so in 2009 the Broadcasting Act was changed to include streaming services as a online as a legitimate form of broadcast. So the streaming services, that's a legitimate form of broadcast, you know, that is a form of success. And you can see that with acts that are really big who didn't get a lot of radio airplay, like Fat Freddy's Drop, like Shapeshifter, like Lady Six, you know, and there are acts now like the Beths, you know, they stream heaps, they do really, really well. They don't really get played at commercial radio that much, you know, they get played supported by the good friends at Student Radio, the Student Radio Network, and you know, a couple of other outlets as well. But that's, you know, that you wouldn't say, wow, they're a big band in New Zealand, you know. Even my mother rang me when they announced who the finalists were for the
Silver Scrolls.
For the Music Awards.
Oh, you're right. Yep.
Yeah, and she was like, "Who are the Beths?" Mum, you've got to come and watch this band. They are amazing. But yeah,
totally.
Yeah, but you know, it was like, wow, I've never heard of them. It's like, you know, but it's not about like the size of the platform. It's just whether you are strong within that platform.
Because it's about getting New Zealand content on air.
Yeah, man, it's in the name.
And that's like, I think a lot of people forget that, you know. And when you're kind of like, you know, wearing your heart on your sleeve and you're applying for funding and you don't get it and you've tried it multiple times and you're really upset about it, I think sometimes you have to go back to the core root of what
It's hard, man. It's a hard one, you know, because there are, you know, I'd love to give everybody some money, you know. If I had enough, I'd give it to everybody. But you don't, you know, so you've just got to weigh up all the, and, you know, the reasons why songs do and don't get funded are vast. You know, sometimes we do really do come down to, you know, we've got one grant left to give and you've got like four songs who are all just as worthy, but you've got a rock song, you've got some hip hop song, you've got some jangly shoegaze, you know, old indie pop song, and and some pop kid. You know, they're all real good. They've all got about the same audience size, and then, you know, but which one do you give it to? You know, and it's usually an argument, we definitely know they're going to get this support here, whereas these guys might do this, they might do that, and they might do that. And it's kind of like, well, we're on a bound to support that then.
Yeah, because part of the criteria too is that you give a bit of a background to your band too, like a bit of a bio. Do you do that?
To
give some context?
So there's not a, right at the bottom is, there's a window which basically is, you know, any supplementary info you want to give. We get a pretty good picture. Everyone who sits on the panel has been in the music industry, is in a position where they are dealing with these songs that come out the other side, that, you know. So we have radio programmers, you've been on it, you know, from back in your days when you were the PD here, you know. But so we have, you know, but we have a commercial radio person, we have a student radio person, we have a producer.
I like that you've got producers. It's really cool.
And they always have a really, because you've got these, a couple of radio people, and there's usually like a tastemaker of some sort, or like someone who's in the
trendsetter.
You know, someone like Charlotte Ryan or Martin Pepperell, and those types of people, you know, people who are actually talking about music and trying to influence other people's and music opinions. But then we have industry people, you know, publicists and educators, so the heads of music schools and that kind of stuff. And everybody brings their own kind of thing to it, and you really get a, you can listen to a song and think, oh no, that's not going to work at this place, and then you walk in and the person from that place is there going, this will be massive for us. You're like, oh, okay, wow, I didn't realize that.
I always loved the discussions that went on, like, around the panel, you know, like, it's it's really good, and everyone is really wanting to champion all the music. They're just so excited.
Man, oh, it's a great opportunity, man. And it, what it does do is, I guess that's the point where we're getting to, is that it is, it's hard to get because it's really good across the board. And, you know, if you didn't get it this time, then have another go at it. What you do, all you see is whether you do or you don't. What you don't know is, you know, somebody may have championed you but just couldn't convince enough of the other people on the panel, because it's a majority.
Yeah.
It's a majority vote thing, you know. So you just need to convince enough of the other people that they believe you, and, you know, sometimes you can do that. Other times that you can't, you know.
Yeah. And so how did you get into this role? What's your background?
Radio. I worked in radio for 14 years.
Were you on air?
Yes, I was. Yeah. So I started it doing promotions for MyFM in 1994. I was the promotions team with Jason Kerrison from Op Shop.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We were the promotions team at MyFM. And from there, I kind of worked my way through pretty much all the radio stations in Auckland through MediaWorks and TRN at the time when I was working at, I was the Black Thunder driver at ZM in Auckland for a few years. And then I went to a couple of jobs just kind of around the country and ended up doing the breakfast show at More FM in Hamilton. And then was always kind of interested in programming and stuff, and then helped out a little bit with that. So I kind of got a little bit of knowledge around programming radio station as well. And then got the pip with radio and told my boss I could stick his job. And I went and drove a bus.
Drove a bus?
Yeah.
What kind of bus?
A big green bus.
Like a tourist?
Yeah.
Like backpackers?
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been fun.
Yeah, man. Yep. Kiwi experience. Oh, beauty. Cool. Yeah, so I went and did that for 4 years. But I kind of still had good relationships with everyone in the radio industry. And so when I met my partner, she was having a baby and I needed to find a real job. And I came back and thankfully a dude that I used to work in radio with was then working at EMI. And he was like, I need a radio plugger. So I kind of walked into a job where, yeah, I started plugging radio, using radio knowledge against them. So I started working at EMI and kind of working on kind of Katy Perry and Coldplay, and we did the Beatles re-release and some really cool ones actually. And then then New Zealand On Air came knocking and said, hey.
Yeah, you want a job.
You want a job. And so, yeah, I just kind of came across and I've been here for 8 years.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So, because I've only ever known you in that role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so it was kind of, you know, it's one of those things, you know, when you say to people it's not what you know, it's who you know. Yeah, sure, there have been aspects of that where I've known people and it's helped me get the roles, but you also have to know what you need to know,
yeah,
or else you get found out and then you get shown the door, you know.
I lied on my CV.
Yeah. So, it was really this kind of role. It's more about experience, you know. I was just around radio for a long time, but because I was mates with Jason, we've stayed friends all this time, and so I kind of. What we flattered together for years and years and years. So I sat through next to him and watched him go through his music career. So I kind of had insight into that
aspect of
being a musician and the hustle and grind of. And now I'm in this role, I always kind of think, I always look back to that going, well, it would have been good if there was someone in a role like mine who could have sat him down, and he probably could have done it like, I don't know, 5-6 years before he actually did make it, you know. But it is a grind, you know, and so those people who are out there who do want to do some sort of funding, stick at it, man, because it's persistence beats resistance.
What your key tip would be for artists?
Look, you know, the cream rises. This is the thing about these funding rounds, man. The cream rises. The good stuff stands out. You know, the great songs, they are the ones that you go, wow, that's a cool song. And you generally come in and everybody in the panel round that round goes, wow, that was a good song. And you're like, yeah, cool. And that's usually the one that, you know, and there's usually a few of those that everybody's voting for, and it makes it pretty easy, really.
Yeah, and that's regardless of genre or whether it is a commercial or alternative song. Look, like, you know a good song regardless of, you know, what its background is.
I don't know if my boss is listening to this. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. But the act with the most... So we have 7 people that sit on the panel, and the band with the most 7 out of 7 songs is Umo.
Oh, wow.
Unknown Mortal Orchestra, who doesn't get played at ZM, doesn't get played at The Edge. He doesn't get played on a lot of radio outlets, you know. But he puts a song in and most people go, that's a good song.
Yeah.
That's going to go, it's got a great audience. It's going to be really successful. So we support it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's, you don't need to be, it's not necessarily about success in particular places, it's just success. So if you, I guess the one tip that I would give to any band man is worry about your audience. Do everything for your audience. Play the songs that your audience like, do the things that your audience like, and build your audience. Because, you know, radio stations, streaming services, you know, all of these, all the broadcasters, they are interested in two things, man, their bottom line and their audience. Now, they're not really going to make a lot of money out of playing your song. Just because they play your song doesn't mean they'll make more money. But you can affect their audience.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Lord is probably the best example of that, in the sense that the Edge and ZM, if 6 months before she was massive, if Universal had walked into their to the PDs there and gone, look, here's this new girl, she's Lord, she's going to be massive, they would have, what are you talking about? There's nothing like this on my radio station. Yeah. I'm not going to play this. 6 months later, their audience is going, we love Lord, give us more Lord. And they're like, we've got to play this, you know? So it's like, you know, if you really are about, then worry about your audience.
Cool.
Get streams, get views, get likes, get shares, get pokes, get waves, get whatever you need to get. But start building an audience. Get people talking about you. Start doing shows. And yeah, make great songs, because we do it real good, and there are lots of other great songs as well.
Yeah. Mm. Well, thank you so much for coming in today.
Yeah, no worries.
We've been talking to Jeff Newton, who is the music promoter on all platforms for New Zealand On Air. Mm. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
I'll be back shortly with some Caribou.
Another friendly face to make your life a little richer. People in Your Neighbourhood on 95 BFM.